Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new We Stayed Up Too Late edition of Gaming Uncensored. And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's on the show this week, sir?
We've got Metroid Talk. That's going to be a lot of it. I got the Samus shirt on today for Metroid Talk. So we're going to talk Metroid, of course. We've got some Metroid news as well, and so we'll get into that. A couple other Nintendo news, including with just this morning, the announcement of how much the Nintendo Switch Online service that includes with 64 and Genesis is going to cost. So,
Ooh. Yeah,
a little tease for you there. If you haven't heard that yet, we'll give you that number here in a little bit. We finally confirmed the Grand Theft Auto Trilogy re-release thing. We've got some details and a lot of rumors around that, so we'll get to that. Big shocker here, Diablo 2 is having server issues.
I told you.
The least shocking thing of all time. And a few other things we may get to if we're lucky, but we're going to talk a lot of Metroid. So, yeah, it's unlikely. Go by the show notes, gamingcensored.com, see what we miss.
Before we get to that, I have to mention the fact that I'm probably about as tired as I have been since we started taking feels, because like a 12-year-old, I stayed up late last night and watched Metroid. And then nice. I watched Old Man Brady play football. And then I watched the end of the baseball game. And man, the Giants got robbed.
No, it was pretty brutal, wasn't it?
Yeah, they totally got robbed. So I'm gonna give you a few minutes here to talk about baseball, because last night I had Michael Wilbon in my head, and I'm going, okay, this is one of those nights where you need two TVs,
right,
and I've only got the one, and so I had to, like, be smart about it and watch one thing and then flip to the other, and man, that game was rough.
That was, it was a fun game. It was brutal. it was a fun game. Two great teams, but I have a rooting interest in the Dodgers winning, not because I particularly like the Dodgers. I don't. But I really want the World Series to be the Astros and the Dodgers again, because that's, of course, the series that the Astros won in 2017. Then the cheating stuff came out and everybody was pissed, and Dodgers are all very, very pissed. To get back to that rematch post-cheating scandal, I think would be really fun. So I was rooting for the Dodgers, but it was a little brutal.
I want to know what the line judge got paid. That's all I'm saying, because that dude made some money.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna say that right now, because I've been watching baseball all my life, and that guy did not go around.
Yeah. It was a trip, but it was a fun game. So, looking forward to what is it? Braves, Dodgers, and then Astros,
so,
Red
yes.
Sox. So, down to the final four. So
yeah.
I know the Astros series starts tonight, I'm guessing the Dodgers Braves series starts tomorrow. So, pretty pumped. It's a good time of year to be a baseball fan.
it's a good time of year to be an anything fan because everything is going right now. Mm-hmm. And
This is kind of the sweet spot of like the sports calendar to me, at least. I don't care much about college basketball. Some people that like college basketball think that, you know, in the spring is kind of the sweet spot for me. But for me, I love football. I love baseball. Football's in full swing. NFL's going. College football's like getting into the meat of the schedule. So there's really fun games. Last week was a crazy college football weekend. And so that was fun. And then, of course, baseball playoffs is my favorite time of year. And so, yeah, it's good sports time right now for me.
And if you need something else to watch, I don't know if this is going to become a regular thing, but I happened to turn on First Take this morning to see what Stephen A. had to say about everything. And our good friend Tim Tebow was hosting First Take with Stephen A. And that was some entertainment right there.
I bet.
I had to stop watching and go somewhere. At some point this morning, but I was thoroughly entertained because Timmy and Stephen A. seem to have a really nice friendship. So
yeah, I bet that would be fun. I'm gonna have to check that out sometime.
That's good stuff. So yeah, I enjoyed that. It's a good time to be a sports fan, and it's a good time to be a fan of Nintendo because yes. We got lots of good Nintendo stuff. and I feel curmudgeon-y. It's probably because I'm tired because I do have some issue. I'm probably the only one on the internet that feels this way. But I do have some issues with Metroid. It's fabulous. It's fabulous. I've seen about 3 hours of it, and it's fabulous, but I do have some issues.
Sure. That's fair. We will talk about those because it's not perfect, but it's great. Like you said, it's very good. So before we get into all that, of course, big thank you to the Patreon guys, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. Thank all of you for your support. Hopefully this week's episode makes it to Patreon. Last week's didn't. Because of some tech issues, the video didn't come through. And so cross your fingers, this one will be up on Patreon if you want to see us on Patreon for whatever reason. Go by GamingUncensored.com, click that Become a Patron link there at the top of the page. And join us over there, because that's fun stuff. And absolutely. We got to get some more content over there, too. We'll probably, I hope we find some time to do some Metroid content here pretty soon, because that'd be fun.
Put it yeah, that, Patreon. That would be fun. I would thoroughly enjoy that, especially after what I'm about to say, because I think you're gonna find it really funny. And so yeah, there will be some content up there shortly. The holidays are coming, and come hell or high water, we see each other during the holidays.
Yes.
So that you know you're gonna get some good content out of that, and it's one of our favorite games of all time, and so we're going to spend a lot of time with Metroid.
Yes, for sure. So that said, let's talk about Metroid a little bit. So, of course, picked up Metroid Dread like everybody else in the world. Everybody else in the world is farther along in it than we are. But, hey, at least we're playing the same game that everybody else in the world is playing for once. So that's a positive. Probably, 2 or 3 hours in at this point, have taken out slight spoilers ahead. It's not anything super spoilery about Metroid. But just in case you don't want to know anything, you're now warned. Have taken out three, technically, I guess, of the Emmys at this point. You take out the one very, very early in the game, just right at the beginning of the game. And then once you dive deeper into the map, have gotten through two of the kind of Emmys at this point, which are a really fun mechanic. We'll talk about that more here in just a second. Have explored parts of three different areas of the map. And so still a long ways to go, but a decent chunk into it at this point. And I'll be brief here, but just really quickly, and then get some of your thoughts on it as well. I am a Metroid fan, as we've talked about a ton. Super Metroid is one of my all-time favorite games. Just adore it. And this is scratching a very specific itch that has been itching for a long, long time,
right,
which is new platforming 2D Metroid. We've gotten some in the past decade or so in terms of kind of remakes. Metroid Fusion, which was fantastic, I think was like, 2007, something like, I don't know. It's been a long time. And so new updated, pretty Metroid is a very welcome thing that still very, very much plays like classic Metroid.
Yes.
If you've played Super Metroid, if you played Zero Mission or Fusion or any of those games, this plays very similarly. You'll feel very at home very, very quickly. In all the good and some of the bad ways. Not a lot of like quality of life improvements here, honestly.
No.
It plays very much like a classic Metroid game, which I kind of dig, but like just saves. There's no quick save to this. It is still save location, save spots. You die outside of the Emmy thing. This is where it is a little bit of a quality of life thing. And they told us this at the very beginning when they first showed off at E3, that if you die in the kind of Emmy areas, which are big areas of the map, if the Emmy catches you and you die there, that it restarts you just right outside the door that you entered that area in. So that's the one exception to the save point thing. But die anywhere else on the map, you go back to your save point the last time you actually saved at a save point. Which is like we talked about with Deathloop a little bit, because Deathloop has a similar mechanic, is something we're not used to in 2021. Games save very, very often and allow you quick saves in most instances. I've died a couple of times where I had to backtrack quite a ways because it'd been a while since I hit a save point.
I will say something, and then I'm totally going to regret saying it here in a week or so. But because this game is what it is, because it's Metroid, I don't mind that particular mechanic. Because yep. That's what Metroid is. It's what it always has been. I mean, you know what you're getting when you get into Metroid. And if you don't, this is probably not the title for you. But I will say that the way, you're right, I'll echo completely what you said. This is very much an old school Metroid, to the point that my major gripe really is like the first 6 minutes of the game, because it's just these still shots with text. Yeah. And I'm going, are we, is this 1985?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, 1985, really?
Yeah.
Like, I had to go watch that part on my computer in front of a screen that I could pause so I could read all the stupid little text. And I'm like, come on, Nintendo, it would have taken you just a little bit of time to make a really, really good opening, you know, 10-minute cinematic or whatever.
Yes.
That would have made that absolutely fantastic. And there's probably some guys out there that are saying, dude, you just said it's an old school Metroid. Yeah, I know I said, but this is not something that we should see in 2020. Because I felt like, what I felt like was that I had just picked up a Game Boy and was playing this on the Game Boy that didn't really have all the special stuff. And what makes it so jarring is when you get through this and you see what the game actually is, the game's freaking spectacular.
Yeah.
Like, it's spectacular. I'm not... You wouldn't have to do an FMV. You wouldn't have to do anything. All you would have to do is get a voice actor and do some stuff in the engine, and it would have been fantastic.
Yes, 100% agree on that point. That was the problem with it. Is it's such a disappointment when you fire up the game. Like, it just starts on kind of a bad note because it's not modern in the worst ways possible. The gameplay being difficult, which it is,
yes.
And the save locations being what they are, I dig all of that. I actually wanted it to be that way because I do want that kind of classic Metroid experience. That opening just sucked.
Yeah, it
just
awful.
Was bad. And it could have been so cool. Like, it's the first time I fired up a new side-scrolling Metroid game in a decade. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready to be blown away by this. And it is. It's just the cheesy, like, little still shots that, like, swipe across the screen. And, like, there's just blocks of text. And you're like, this is 2021, guys. Like, I appreciate the retro feel. But you could voice it. Like, that's not hard to do. Put some cinematics behind it. Like, you could have made this really, really hype. And it's just not. It's just like, okay, sitting through this. Let me play the game. Like, it felt like it dragged on for longer than it did because it's just not, it's not captivating.
And what's so horrible about it is that after that little part's over, then you have this cinematic shot of her waking up and doing the thing. And the thing that made me drop my jaw, and I hope they do more of, is that she's looking around and some genius, some director thought, we'll show them what she's looking at through the helmet. Yes. And I was like, I saw that and I went, yes!
Yes!
Yes! Because, like, here's the thing. I don't, that was fun in Metroid Prime, but I don't want an entire Metroid game like that. I want it interspersed, like I was talking about Nathan Fillion the other day, and it showed The Rookie. Have you seen that thing?
No.
They do this thing. Well, it's a cop show, and they do this thing where they're running along, and it switches from live to body cam, and that's what this thing is, and it's fabulous.
Yeah.
And like they did a fabulous job. And I'm going, if you would have just started like this,
exactly,
you would have been fine.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Which they do call back to that. I've ran into that a few times now where it does cut to the in visor view for just a split second. But it is a cool little thing. And it is, you know, like it's an obvious nod to the Metroid Prime series, which this is kind of technically outside of, but cool that there's that little nod to it. So. Yeah, I completely agree with all that. Once the action starts, the game is great. But man, and even the cinematics, because there are little cinematics that happen in game. Those are good. Like, those are fun and intriguing. But just that it felt like they were like, oh, we need an intro to this game. Like 2 days before the launch, it went gold or whatever. You know, so they're like, we'll throw something together. Here you go. To like explain all this backstory. It doesn't even really matter because it's Metroid. I don't need even that much. Like, I appreciate you filling in like a whole bunch of gaps or whatever. But if you're going to do it better. If you're going to do it like that, just leave it out and let me get to the game. You know, like that's the thing. It's like, it's not essential. Like I would love to have that stuff, but if you're going to do it, make it pretty. You didn't make it pretty. So just let me get to the game. Like,
I'm being so nitpicky because it's fabulous. If you like Metroid at all, you're going to like this. It's fabulous. But another one of those little things, I have never in my life watched a Metroid game on YouTube. And you want to know what the worst part about watching a Metroid game on YouTube is?
Huh.
Trying to figure out where you are and where you're going on that little map. It's awful! It's a good one. Like, okay. I'm looking at places like, okay, has he been through this room? Because I'm not sure. I think he's been through this, but I'm not sure because there's no evidence that you've ever been through this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's impossible. So, like, I'm fired up about 15 minutes of it before the show because we were waiting to start. And I knew that you had not been into the area that you were in, but there are there are a lot of places where you could very easily, and this is a nod to the old school Metroid again, like we're talking about, you can very easily get turned around and go, have I been here? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. 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 It's, I mean, to me, that's a feature, not a bug, right? Like that's part of the Metroid design. The map, the map's okay. It's not fantastic. It's not awful. Again, it feels very old school Metroid. that you find map locations that show you kind of big blocks of the rooms. Until you get that, it just opens up as you go along. But once you get the map for an area, it kind of shows you a general overview. But still, until you go into the room, you don't know what's there. It doesn't show you a lot until you actually get to it.
I'm not.
Which is the whole point. I mean, that's it's what Nintendo does really well. They've done this, in my opinion, just exquisitely in two titles, this and in Breath of the Wild, is that it's just like it rewards your exploration, right? Like it just rewards your curiosity. That's not just a simple fact of like the map opens up as you explore, but like that it leads you places without you realizing it's leading you places, and it pays off when you show up somewhere that you're thinking like you're not supposed to be at. Right. It just, they do a really good job in game design of making that happen to the point where the map becomes kind of secondary. Like I look at it and every once in a while I'm like, oh, I really need to reference the map for a specific thing. But most of the time it's just like, oh, door, what's over here? You know, like, let me go see.
I'm not saying it's a bug. I'm just saying it's kind of hard to watch on YouTube. If we're sitting in a room together, I don't think it's a problem.
Yeah. I'm real quick on the map too. I pull the map up for a split second and close it. And so it's when I pull the map up, I know what I'm looking for on the map. But when you see me pull the map up, you don't know what I'm looking for. Right. And so I'm like, pull it up. Oh, yep. There we go. And close it. You're probably sitting there going, wait, what happened? Just, you know, like.
Well, and the other thing is that they haven't done the key mapping exactly right, because you always click the other key, whatever that yes. other key is, before you get to the
freaking
map.
Every time.
it's not a
mapping issue. It's a playing between Sony and Nintendo products issue, right? That like the way that the buttons on Nintendo are, so X on Sony is the bottom of the diamond, right? You have the four right. buttons, X is the bottom, and that's the confirm button for everything. In Nintendo world, the A button is a confirm button, which is the right side of the diamond, not the bottom. B is the back button, which makes sense. O is the back button on Sony. And so I always hit A because I'm so used to playing on a PlayStation right. with the PlayStation controls. I hit A to go back, which is how you put a marker. And so every time I try to exile the map, I end up putting a marker and I have to take it off. Which, yeah, you would think at some point I would get used to that. I haven't yet. I still do it every single time because I'm so like muscle memory that the right button right there is the one you use to go back. It's just not on Nintendo.
And I have to be honest and say that we could sit here and talk about the gameplay, but there's nothing really talk about the gameplay because it's Metroid. Like you can.
Well, let me talk about the gameplay because I do think it's Metroid, but it is improved Metroid, right? Like it is like playing. I've played Super Metroid recently. I haven't played through it, but I've played, you know, an hour or so of it on the Switch on the virtual console. And I love that game. It's one of my all time favorite games. Again, I'm wearing a Super Metroid T-shirt right now. But it's also a game that was made in the early 90s. And so it feels like playing a game from the early 90s when you play it. This doesn't feel like playing a game from the early 90s. Like it does feel like a modern platformer, and the controls are smooth. The melee thing is super handy. That again is a new feature to Metroid Dread that was, I believe, started in Fusion, and they did it in, or was it in Samus Returns? I think is where they started.
I
think so too. Wherever they started it at was a cool feature then, and they've executed it well here, and so, that side of it, it just feels good. And playing on the Pro Controller, this is the first Switch game I've played on a Pro Controller. Like the Pro Controller is a really solid controller. Like it's a good feeling controller. It's not as good as the PlayStation controller, which I can tell you because I accidentally just reached over and grabbed my PlayStation controller instead of my Switch controller last night when I was playing the game. And of course it didn't work. I'm sitting there pressing the button and I'm like, oh, why is this not working? I looked down, I'm holding my PlayStation 5 controller. I'm like, oh, duh. And I put it down, I pick up the Switch controller. I'm like, oh, this doesn't feel as good. You know, like it just right. doesn't like sit in your hand as well as that PlayStation 5 controller. But it's a solid controller. It is much better than playing with Joy-Cons on.
I was going to say, I don't think just watching you play a little bit, I don't think this is a game that it would be possible to play with Joy-Cons. I mean, it would be tough, but I think it would be miserable.
Yeah, it would be. It's very twitchy, and so you do have to be kind of quick reaction. And Joy-Con specifically, the triggers are just awful, just super, super terrible. Buttons are fine to me, or whatever, but the triggers are just bad. And so having a controller with good triggers matters because you're using the trigger to slide, you're using the trigger to aim, and so there's a lot of reasons that you're using triggers or shoulder buttons, so triggers and shoulder buttons, respectively, there. And so, yeah, playing on a pro controller, I've played with it just a little bit in handheld mode just to play around with it, not doing anything specific because I want to stream it all, but just to kind of run around and try it. And it just, you know, it's fine, whatever. If that's the way you're going to play a Metroid game, it's not awful. It's the best handheld Metroid game that's ever existed, I guarantee, like just visually and control-wise and everything else. But man, it's just better docked, which makes sense. And basically everything is going to be Zelda a million times better docked. Metroid is a million times better docked. But it does work okay on the handheld mode because it is this kind of 2D platformer. And so it translates decently well to that. Much better, in my opinion, than Zelda did, though Zelda was okay with it too. But if you have the option to play it on a big, pretty screen, play it on a big, pretty screen. It's not going to look as pretty as a PlayStation 5 game. Don't expect that, obviously. But it does look really good on a big, pretty screen.
It will surprise you.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it going, wow.
Yeah. Let me talk about the Emmy thing really quick, because that was obviously one of the big, like, when they were talking about the game and selling the game and the dread part of the game that was kind of centered around these indestructible enemies that are indestructible until you get the special ability to destroy them, and then you lose that special ability immediately after you destroy them. Something that they don't explain why. Like, you can shoot that little beam as many times as you want until you shoot the Emmy, and then it doesn't work anymore, and you're like, what is it about shooting the Emmy? Whatever. Don't ask too many questions about Metroid because you're going to be disappointed because there's not good answers. But outside of that, the idea of the like Emmy tracking you and chasing you and you having to evade it, I've gotten caught many, many times. It's a fun part of the game. Yeah, it's a game where you die.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's some games you play, you just don't die very often. This is a game that you die. And especially with the Emmys, because it's a one-hit kill. If they catch you, you're dead. Unless you can exactly time a counter, essentially, the melee counter, which I have yet to do. Apparently, is quite difficult.
You did it once.
I did it the first time when it tells you how to, and it pauses the game for you to do it. So you do it once. You have to do it once because the game makes you do it once. I haven't done it like naturally yet, though. And it's, you know, like if you did it, great. But it's kind of, you know, like half of the time when I've got caught by the Emmy, I'm like, okay, yeah, that was fine. I was just exploring anyway. You know, I'm just trying to figure out where I'm going. And so there is this kind of sense of dread as it's chasing you, but it's not. I don't know, playing like Metroid Fusion, whenever like the SAX, the Samus virus, the parasitic Samus is following you around. That was way scarier to me for reasons I can't tell you. I don't know why that got my adrenaline pumping so much more, but when SAX showed up on the screen, I was like, oh, suck. This is awful. The Emmys are not quite like that. They're like, you know, you kind of get your blood pumping, but the fact that you can see them on the mini map, and then when you're within kind of their range, it kind of flashes on the screen that they detect you. And so it gives you this little heads up. It makes it so much more strategic than just simply running away, which with the SAX and Fusion, it was just running away. And you just hoped that you escaped. And every time she caught you and killed you, you figured out a little bit farther to go. But it was just running. This is really, you know, you're like sneaking, and then you get a cloaking ability that's really cool. And so you can cloak yourself from the Emmy and like just all this stuff that is really fun. This kind of cat and mouse game that you play with the Emmys, like those have become my favorite areas of the map. They're really, really fun to explore because not only are you like having to deal with platforming and a few enemies, there's little robots that are floating around in there that you can shoot as well. But you're also constantly playing this cat and mouse game. You're like, okay, where's it at? Where, which side of the map is going to come from? And if I open this door, is it going to be right behind this door? And then sure enough, you open the door and it's right behind the door. You're like, ah, suck, run, you know, yeah. Like whatever. It's a really fun mechanic. I think they executed that well. I was a little skeptical about how fun that mechanic was going to be. I think it's a fun mechanic. It's weird because Metroid's always been about boss fights, and there are boss fights too. I just got to the Kraid boss fight and got owned. So I got to figure out some strategy on that one. Okay,
so I got to talk about boss fights for a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Finish that thought.
Well, all I was going to say, it's a weird kind of juxtaposition between the Emmys having such a focus, which aren't really kind of boss fight-ish.
No, they're not.
Kind of bossy, but they're not really boss fights when you get the Omega Beam or whatever it is, whatever it's called, that you can defeat them with. Like, it's not like a boss fight where you have to learn patterns and strategy and that kind of stuff. There's just you blast them in this certain way and they die. But then there is also the bosses that are, you know, traditional Metroid kind of bosses. And it feels like it's trying to do two different things. That I want the boss fights because that's one of the best parts of Metroid. I love Metroid boss fights. I don't want to lose that. But at the same time, with the focus on the Emmys, like I'm not sure if I should be like more concerned about the bosses or more concerned about the Emmys. And it's just a little strange.
So I have, when I wrapped up last night, you killed the lizard, which is the one that they showed in the demo and PR stuff. That's the one that they show. And it's a good fight. I enjoyed it. But here's my question. You got to a point where, with that guy, first of all, you died 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Right. And then you get to a point with that guy where you're shooting him because to actually get him to back off, you have to use missiles. And you got down to 0 on the missiles, and then they were just replenished. And I was like, wait, what? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. What just happened?
Yeah. A classic Metroid mechanic that the boss has some little projectile that it launches that you can shoot. And that if you shoot them, it gives you items. And so that was the trick. So it was I don't remember what it flings at you, little like gas balls or something that if you shoot them, then you get health and items from them. So a way to replenish your items in the middle of it. Cause yeah, I avoid using missiles in Metroid for whatever reason. I don't know why. It's just like weird to use missiles until you absolutely have to. And it's just like unload them, you know? And so right. That was one where I'm just unloading missiles on the dude and you run out pretty quickly, or you did at that point. I've got a bunch of missile packs now, but there's always a way to kind of replenish that stuff mid boss fight if it's something that you're going to need. And for the most part, it's something that you do need.
Yeah, I just didn't see what you did to make that happen. It was at 0 and then it wasn't. So
yeah,
I was kind of curious about that. Other than that, it was a Metroid boss fight, and I'm sure the next one's the same way. It's a Metroid boss fight. And you get some sort of power or something after every boss fight. So it's very...
One thing I was really surprised about, again, this is a little spoiler-ish, but traditionally in Metroid, the very first power-up you get is the Morph Ball. That a lot of the map is inaccessible until you get the Morph Ball. You just see the little holes that you can get through or whatever. It takes a while in this one before you get the Morph Balls. You're exploring the map and you're like, oh, I wish I could get there, but I can't because I don't have the stinking Morph Ball yet. I finally got it, but it's a couple hours into the game before you get it, which is surprising. I don't think there really is a way you can get it much earlier. You have to, because it's one of the Emmys that you kill. Again, spoiler-ish here. It's one of the Emmys that you kill that gives it to you. And so you have to get at least to that point.
I don't know why. I can't explain it. But my favorite aspect of what I have seen so far are the water areas.
Yeah.
Because of the way that it changes what you can do and how she moves and the speed. I don't know why I dig that, but when you're going through the water, I'm like, man, that's really cool. And then the fact that you to get through to get to where you're trying to go, which is back to the ship, you essentially have to change the environment and reroute things in the environment to make it work. And Metroid has always sort of done that, but they nailed it here.
Yes.
And yeah, so, it works really well.
Yeah, there is a little deeper puzzle component. Still not very puzzle-ish, but a little bit more of a puzzle component than there has been in the past, for sure. And it's kind of the opposite of all the other Metroid games. Like, all the other Metroid games, you start at the ship, and then you, like, try to get as deep into the planet as you can. You're, like, trying to explore. This one's the opposite, that it, like, drops you in the middle of the planet and then says, you got to figure out a way to get out of here, which is a cool kind of flipping the formula on its head. I like that.
It's nice. But the way that they go about it with the different rooms, and you brought up the computer just oh, for Adam. A second there for a second, and I can't. There's such a better way to do that.
Yeah,
and they just didn't.
Yeah, there definitely is. Adam has always been a weird thing since Adam was a thing. Which again, I'm trying to remember where they brought Adam into. Adam was a person and then he died and then his computer essence lives on or whatever it is, you know. It just, that robotic voice just drives me nuts. I'm like, this is how far in the future and we can't like do a better voice synthesizer? Like,
right.
2021, we have much better voice synthesizers than that. Like, I don't care. Like, you could make it sound a little bit like Cortana-ish or something, where like there's a little bit of an artifactiness to it without it sounding like a digital, like 4-bit voice or whatever.
Just, and you know what it is? It's not that they couldn't do it. It's not that they didn't have time to do it. This is the Nintendo thing.
Yes.
This is the thing where you look at it and you go, there's Nintendo. There's that Nintendo weirdness. Because that's all it is. Like, there's no other explanation for it other than we're Nintendo and this is what we did and you're going to be okay with it.
Yeah. All that said, I'm itching to get back to it. It's one of those games that I think about when I'm not playing it, but I'm really excited to play it later. You know, like I want to pick it back up. I'm thoroughly enjoying the experience. So we'll have a lot more to talk about with it.
It's going to be a great game. What blows my mind and what reminds me how old school it is while I was looking through, I watched a review and did all of that before you started. And there are already speed runs up there. Some guy has finished the game in an hour and 50 minutes.
Nice.
And that's insane. Yeah. Like, and that's just a nod to the old school Metroid. This one is not that long. If you want to get through it, you can get through it. It's not a length thing, but before we're done, you will have spent 40 hours in it.
Right. Yeah, I've seen, I'm going to look it up really quick, just the average time is about 8 hours. That's the average of how long it's taking people to beat it. And so that's solid. For Metroid, that's not a bad thing at all. The speed run, the original, wasn't it? The original or Super Metroid, whichever one it was, that was 3 hours. If you beat it in under 3 hours, you'd get Samus outside of the suit. And that was the big deal, you know. That's about where a Metroid game should be, which brings up an interesting question that's been all over the Twittersphere or whatever. We'll talk about just a little bit about price. That's going to be a topic that also applies to something else we'll get to in just a little bit in the news. Before we get to all that, because we're already 40 minutes into the shows, we have to remind you that Gaming Uncensored, of course, is brought to you by Feels.com, a product that we love. It's premium CBD oil and mints. I can now speak to the mints because I got my shipment of mints.
What do you think of the mints?
I'm digging the mints. They're great. It's just that's my morning routine now. Is that like on my way to work, I have a mint. And then at home before I go to bed, I use the tincture. And so I've got it in the morning. that's that wonderful. Just, you know, again, it's just a little bit of focus, just a little bit of clarity, just kind of brings your mind in a little bit, which is really nice, especially going to work. It just helps me because my brain is all over the place, as we've talked about many, many times before. Just gets me a little bit more in the zone, which is a really, really nice thing. They're tasty little mints.
They are. I dig them. They're very good. And the crazy thing about the CBD, because I didn't have mine last night. It's part of the reason I didn't sleep. I didn't get that taken care of. And I'm to that point where I have about a quarter of a container left. And I put in my order and it's been shipped. But I'm going to run out before it gets here, you know?
Right, so yep.
I'm like, you got to ration a bit. Yeah, I'm kind of rationing a bit. And so it's a very interesting place to be. I was telling my mom about the brain reset part of it. Like, it's not, it's interesting to me when I take it, whether it's the mint or the tincture. It's this calmness. I don't know if it happens to you, but it's a really like calming effect. After 20 minutes or something, you just get this, you know, calming effect.
Yeah.
And you can't really describe it until you've had it. But that's all I can say. It's this really calming effect. It's like, okay, I can go on about my business and do whatever I need to do. And I went to the doctor today. I got Botox in my knees. I get Botox in my knees every 3 months, and that's wonderful. But every time I go to the doctor, because I'm getting older, they do the thing where they take your blood pressure, and I always wonder what my blood pressure is going to be. And I know that you've had that yourself, because we both have stressful jobs, and you walk in somewhere and they put that blood pressure cup on you and it's higher than you expected to be. And you're like, oh, okay, this is not good. And they're like, are you okay? And like, yeah, I'm good. And then so I had that today where she put the blood pressure cup on my arm and said, your blood pressure is 120 over 72. And I'm like, I wonder if the CBD has a little something to do with that.
Yeah.
It's just a really calming kind of a thing. And so I know we've been preaching to you guys. I actually had somebody send me a text and say, is this for real or are you just doing this because you're making money? And yes, we're making money, but we're not making that much money.
Right.
we're getting way more benefit out of the product than we are getting money. So this is probably the most genuine product placement thing we have ever done, just because the product works.
Yeah. Yeah. We've always said, we joked all the time about we'll sell our soul for whatever, whoever's going to pay us. But we've always been pretty clear that if we were going to have a product on the show, want to be was something that we believe in, support, and it's a good product. We love it. We dig it. And we trust that you'll have a good experience with it as well. Not just the product, but as we've talked about a ton, the people there, they want to help you figure out your dosing. They have all kinds of resources and a free hotline and just, yeah, everything. It's fantastic.
Have you called them yet?
I haven't called the hotline. I've done plenty via email and the website, and have yet to have anything but a wonderfully pleasant experience. Just man, everybody there.
Man, they're great people. They are fantastic people. And the customer service is really what sells it. It's what got us involved. And we just really love the product. So if you haven't tried it, we have a promo link for you that will get you 50% off.
Yeah. So go by feels.com/GU podcast. Make sure you do that for both your sake and our sake. Gets you 50% off, keeps them happy with us. And so feels.com, FEALS patreon.com/GU podcast. Get 50% off your first order plus free shipping. And then sign up for the membership and it's 30% off after that, which is a great, great deal. And so feels.com/GU podcast. Yeah, go check them out. Feel better with Feels.
It's really fantastic. And we're totally sold.
Yes. That said, a little bit of news for you. Again, like I said, there is a little bit of Metroid Dread news to talk about to just come up has come up over the past few days. Really, one, it's not even in show notes, but just the sales for it have been really solid, and so much so that a lot of people are speculating, and probably rightfully so, you're going to see some more Metroid content, be it more remakes of earlier games. Super Metroid in this kind of skin of Metroid Dread, I would think, would be super cool and not outside the realm of possibilities.
Can I ask before you continue with that, how big is Dread on your Switch?
Oh, I don't know. Not huge, but yeah, nothing's huge on the Switch because I have the built-in memory. And then right now I think I have a 128 gig card in it, maybe a 64 gig card. I don't remember. I have a couple cards, but I've never like had to do much space moving around or anything like that. I just had an extra card that I threw in the case. I don't even know if there's anything on that other card. Like, all right. I've got all these games installed and it doesn't matter. Yeah, they're not big. Whatever it is, a few gigs probably. Maybe a little bit more than that, but I'd have to go look at my Switch to tell you. Just not huge games by any means. But yeah, it's been really successful. I think even more so than Nintendo maybe anticipated, had a lot of hype going in. And it's a really good game. It's a solid execution. So for people that have been into Metroid, obviously this is wonderfully reminiscent to us. But there hasn't been a mainline Metroid game come out in a decade. And so
No. This
is a lot of people's introduction to Metroid as a series too. And so you would imagine it's going to create a lot of interest in the previous games. And so we'll see if Nintendo does something with that. Knowing Nintendo, they won't. But they're it's ripe for the picking for sure.
Yeah.
The downside, a little bit of bad news here that is in the show notes is about crediting some of the developers that worked on the game. And so the developer that worked on this was Mercury Steam. And of course, there's a lot of people that are involved in the development of a game like this. And like any company, people come and go. And so over the lifespan of a video game, there's going to be developers that work at a studio that leave after they have worked on a game. And there's going to be developers that show up halfway through or later into the game development process and help finish it out. And that's, again, not surprising. Game development takes a long time. There's a lot of people involved. People change jobs for whatever reasons. Yeah, it's a thing. But a fairly common practice in the video game industry, and one that's apparently happened here with Metroid Dread, is that people who leave during the development of a game often don't get credited for their work on the game officially in the game. And so there are at least a handful of people who worked on Metroid Dread that are saying they didn't get credited for it because they didn't work at Mercury Steam at the end of their at the end of the development cycle for Metroid Dread when it released, and so they weren't listed in the credits as part of that. And so it's a video game industry practice. It's not exclusive here, but this is an example of it happening. That hopefully, at least, it getting a bunch of news coverage will help people change and do better about in the future. I don't care if you worked on it for 20 minutes. If you did something on that game that ended up in the final product of the game, your name should be on it somewhere.
Portfolios are very important, and we learned that when we were very, very, very young, and now it's more important than ever. That's
sure.
Why we work so hard on this content, because we know somebody's going to come look at it and it might get us a job at some point. So that's something that you have to adjust. And I think that's an issue that companies around the world have, is say, well, this is the way it's always been.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you can't adjust it. So,
yeah. 100%. Hopefully we get some better practices out of that. Also in Nintendo World, this is the one I teased earlier. We now have a price point for the what's called the Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pack. It's the official name for it. And so we've got the base level of Nintendo Switch Online, which includes multiplayer, the NES, SNES, Virtual Consoles, cloud saves, handful of other things that will run you $20 a year. That's the current version of that. And now we have the expansion pack, which includes, as we knew it was going to include, the N64 Virtual Console, the Sega Genesis Virtual Console. That's enough for us. But also will include the Animal Crossing DLC, which was just announced as well. And so you can go find out details about that. We're not going to cover that in the show, but that was a little tease that they had in that Nintendo Direct. That's now officially announced, and that will be included in this expansion pack, which also makes you think that probably future DLC for other games will be included in this expansion pack. The price annually for the Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack, which is, to my understanding here, all inclusive, so all the base level stuff plus the expansion pack stuff, is $50 a year. So $20 a year for the base, $30 more a year for N64, Sega Genesis, and as of right now, the Animal Crossing DLC.
So I'm okay with that, but I think it's going to be an issue of, there's going to be people like us that are looking at it going, okay, how much am I using this?
Yep.
And the classic example of this is that I have decided that Hulu is the most useful streaming service on the planet. I think it's more useful than Netflix. I think it's more useful than HBO. I think Hulu is the most useful service on the planet. And I don't even blink at that $12. What I do blink at is the $8 or $9 that I'm paying for Disney Plus and ESPN Plus, which I only occasionally use. And this is one of those situations, like, yeah, you get all DLC, but how often are you gonna get DLC? And I only turn on Disney if there's new Mandalorian or like there's some kind of Marvel, like I don't use Disney every day. And so I look at it every month and go, do I really need to be paying for this? And you know what's keeping me in it? Yeah, I need to keep paying for it because there's more Mandalorian coming.
For sure. And that's how all these things get you. And that's why we pay for who knows how many of these subscription services at this point. I think it's a little bit of a problem with their baseline. Because if you just told me you get all of this stuff, the online play, the NES, SNES, N64, Sega Genesis, Virtual Console, Cloud Saves, blah, 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 I get all that for $50 a year. I go, cool. That's a great price. I have zero problem with that, whatever, but for whatever dollars a month that comes out to, whatever it is. Like, that's great. If you tell me you can get almost all of those features, sans the 64 and Genesis, for $20 a year, I go, is it really worth $30 more a year for right. just the 64? So it's very much a framing thing, right? Yeah. Like, it's how you look at it. I could totally justify the $50 a year for the whole package. It's trying to justify the $30 a year for just those limited things that come with it. Now, the Animal Crossing expansion is $25 standalone. So if you're going to buy it anyway, then this is a no-brainer. But how many people are going to buy that without this? But if they also put on, like, if they did Metroid DLC that's, like, part of the expansion pack, worth it. Yeah. You know, like, whatever. Like, if this had existed during Breath of the Wild when they did, you know, a couple of expansion things that they did for Breath of the Wild, if that would have been included in the expansion pack, totally worth it. 100%. We just don't know right now if they're going to do that over the next year with any other games. You're kind of taking a risk paying for this up front, hoping that they'll add a little bit more content, or you're just happy with the N64 and Genesis, which honestly I am. And for me, the price works out just fine.
I was going to say, let's be honest and say we're going to pay the $50. Yeah. That's totally fine. $50 a year, whatever. That is going to be paid. Actually, Patreon's going to pay that.
Yes, thank you, Patreon.
Tommy hasn't paid for anything in a while.
Which is nice. We appreciate you guys.
My nieces are paying for anything. I don't know. but there has been more music added to the Quest.
Nice.
And I just, it's like, they send me a text, like, can I get this? And I'm like, hey, yeah. I'm not ever gonna play it, but yeah. So
I fire it up once in a while. So yeah.
We're totally gonna pay for that. I'm totally okay with that. My question though is, is there a step too far? Because Nintendo could look at this and go, okay, they're paying $50. What if we offer them something else and that ends up being $60? And like, I don't know what the step too far is. And it's a question of, I really am paying attention to what I'm using the most. And right now it toggles between Hulu and HBO. Like, those are the two things that I'm using the most. And the rest of it just sort of sits there. And I really do. I look at it every month and go, do I really need to pay for this? And so I don't know what that number is that Nintendo can go to that I'm gonna look at and go, yeah, it's kind of stupid.
Yeah, I don't know either. There's definitely a number they could get to. And a lot of people on Twitter think it's this. A lot of people are pretty unhappy with the $50. But 50, like, again, it's less than $5 a month. Like, to me, like, again, for that access, and maybe I don't pay for it next year. But honestly, just, yeah, I'm going to have some fun with those 64 games, even if it's for a very limited time. And it'll get me to Fire Up Animal Crossing again because the DLC is included. And so, like,
and you have smart a child.
Like, yes, and she hasn't played Animal Crossing in a long time. She would love to see it again. And so, it's kind of a no-brainer. Keep the price idea in your head for just a second. I'm going to talk about our next story and then come back to how much video games cost, because there's an interesting discussion there. So Rockstar has officially announced that the trilogy, the original Grand Theft Auto 3D trilogy, Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and San Andreas, will be re-released as what they're calling it exactly, a director's cut. Definitive edition is what they're calling it. The trilogy, the definitive edition, that is going to be somewhat updated, not completely reskinned. There's a rumor that it'll use Unreal Engine, but that Rockstar has said that it will be true to the original look of the games, which means don't expect it to look like even Grand Theft Auto 5. It's going to be blocky and polygonal and all that fun stuff that the originals were, but with smoother edges, better performance, it's apparently a lot of quality of life things that's going to play a lot more like Grand Theft Auto 5 instead of those original games. And so all that fun stuff is what it is, and whether or not you're excited about that, whatever. The thing that's also been leaked that hasn't been confirmed yet, but appears to be true, is that it will cost the same as a full price game. It'll be $70 on current generation consoles, probably $60, I would guess, on PS4, Xbox One. I don't know how much it'll be on PC, whatever, $60 or $70 for a trilogy of games that were released almost the first one 20 years ago at this point. And then Metroid Prime. Metroid Dread, also a $60 game on the Switch, not $70, but $60. And I've seen a lot of people on Twitter, you know, saying, really, a 2D game with some of the technical things that we talked about, that intro that's just not up to 2021 standards, whatever, is that really worth $60? Is Grand Theft Auto the definitive edition worth $60 when you have, or $70 when you have games like, and the ones that I saw like a GIF on Twitter about was, you know, God of War or The Last of Us Part Two, or even Ratchet and Clank on current consoles, that are that same price. Like, when you put, you know, one of these games side by side with one of those games, visually, obviously, that's the easiest comparison. Like, it just doesn't stand up the same. And so should there be a more tiered approach to pricing on video games? Or, and let me ask you this question directly, I'm curious about your thoughts on it. Is Metroid Dread worth $60?
Yeah, it is.
I think that's the right answer.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
Yeah, it's the right answer.
I mean, look, here's the thing, and it doesn't matter whether you're talking about video games or politics or whatever it is. The internet is a place where people go to complain about stuff, right? And the people that are on Twitter talking about this and us are talking about it because, you know, it's a reasonable question. It gives us content and whatever. But if you're really upset about it, the only way to let somebody know you're upset about it is not buy the product.
Right.
And like I'm like Metroid was a day one purchase for us. I didn't think if we had not had Patreon money and you were like, dude, I just bought a ton of whatever and I'm totally out of money, I'd be like, here's $60. I like there's no debate about that, but that's the thing. Like, if you're going to pay for something and then whine about what it costs, shut up. You know? Like, yeah. Shut up.
Wait for it to go on sale, which for Nintendo will be in a long time. Yeah. Nintendo doesn't drop prices on games very often. But wait for it to go on sale or something else. Or, yeah. It's worth whatever people are willing to pay for it. And like we talked about, a lot of people have bought it. And so apparently they haven't priced it
Look. Don't hear me say that gaming or gaming in general is not an expensive hobby. It is. It's a very expensive hobby. And we're both like stalling like mad to try and keep from building new rigs because we're like, do we really need it yet? And we're looking at new Macs and it's like, I don't know. So we're right there with you. We understand. But like, I'm not so offended that I'm just not gonna play games.
Yeah, and to me, like, the idea of comparing it against other games is also a little bit silly. Because there's really pretty games that aren't fun to play, right? Like, there's games that look good that are bad games, and there's games that aren't as pretty that are really well-designed games. And Metroid is a really well-designed game. It doesn't have the visual, like, blow-your-mind that something like God of War did, or the storytelling of The Last of Us. But it's a really well-designed, good game. So, yeah, $60. Again, I think it's worth it. And that's what matters, not the, like, side-by-side screenshot comparisons or whatever. It's really unfair to compare games that way. It just, you shouldn't do that. That's dumb.
Can I do the Jamie Jordan thing real quick? Because I just want to mention to you an example of this. 12 minutes has been taken off of Game Pass. Apparently, because I cannot pay for it, because I cannot play it now. And you know what? I'm totally fine with that, because that is not a game that I will ever pay for.
Yes.
Like, I'm sure it's fabulous. And for those people that love it, more power to you. But I'm not paying for that.
Yeah. And how much is it, like, if you buy it now?
You're the one that has Google, man. Look that up.
It's $25 on Steam.
No.
Not worth $25.
Like, I'll buy it during a sale when it's like half off. You know,
like, I don't even think I'd pay for it then.
Right, but that's my point. Like, that's my point. That's it's this big, you know, big budget hyped thing that everybody was talking about for about 5 minutes, and it's not worth what they are charging for it.
Yes, absolutely. It's a spectrum, and it's whatever makes sense to you. And if game doesn't make sense to you for $60, don't pay $60 for it. That's pretty simple. But I don't think it's a bad price for Metroid Dread. Now, like, same question. See if we're consistent on this. Grand Theft Auto Trilogy, a re-release of the first three games in the 3D era of Grand Theft Auto with, you know, visual improvements, but not total remake visual fidelity, quality of life improvements, but still the original gameplay, all that kind of stuff. Is that worth $70 on a PlayStation 5.
Nope.
Would you pay that?
No.
Yeah.
No. You know what? Here's the thing. Here's why. You and I love Grand Theft Auto. We have played all of these games. We've not gotten through many of them, but we've played several hours of all of these games.
Grand Theft Auto is one. I think I've beaten every single 3D Grand Theft Auto game.
I think the last one I legit beat was Grand Theft Auto 3. I played them all.
Yeah.
But I'm not actually beating them. But the point's still the same. Like, I'm not... Okay, let me give you the difference with Metroid. Despite everything that the internet's saying about how this is going to open Nintendo up to do more Metroid remakes, we're going to see more of this, whatever, we're not going to see another Metroid game for like 10 years.
Right.
Like, we're just not. I know that, you know that, we might see one in 8 years, but it's probably not going to be as good as this. So I'm going to give them $60 because I'm not going to see this for a while. And to go back to the Grand Theft Auto example, we have talked ad nauseum about Skyrim. I am not paying whatever the price is for the latest version of Skyrim.
Yeah.
I'm not.
And we love that game.
Yeah.
And Grand Theft Auto is one of my favorite franchises of all time. I adore Grand Theft Auto. I love those games. But part of the thing with Grand Theft Auto is both that it's not new, that it's a re-release of the content, and it's massive. Like, yeah, it's just a time sink. If you give me Super Metroid and a Metroid Dread kind of style, I'm going to play that because I know it's only going to take up 10 hours of my life.
You're
not going to scratch the surface of one of those Grand Theft Auto games in 10 hours. And there's three of them in this package and I love them, but I just got way too much other stuff to play. Give me new Grand Theft Auto and I'm on it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto I already played for, you know, these being 30, 40, 50 hours experiences each. No.
It's not.
If you gave it to me for $20, I'd pick it up just to play with it for a while. But at a full price game, I can't.
You mentioned Diablo at the beginning of the show and the issue that they're having. If you want to run over that, we can do that real quick. But this is another one of those examples that, like, and I said it to Spider on Facebook. When that game goes to $20. Yeah, I'm gonna buy it because it's that worthy of an upgrade. But I ain't paying 50.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want that true experience, server issues. I mean, that's really it. They actually blamed it on the original game's code, that because the original game is still underneath it, that you can just hit the button to toggle back to the original. But I totally buy it because the original game had all these issues with server stuff. And so why not? It's spot on for Blizzard. Of course it was going to have issues. That's a good example. Solid $20 game. Yeah. Grand Theft Auto Trilogy re-release, solid $20 game.
Seriously.
$30? Anything above that? No.
Seriously, if you email me tomorrow and say, I found Resurrected for $20. I don't care where I'm at, what I'm doing. I'm going to run to a device to purchase that. It's worth $20. It ain't worth 50.
Yeah. No, I agree with that 100%. But Metroid, every bit worth the $60.
And look. Just to add one more to the list. We love Fallout. I don't want to see a Fallout remake. I don't want to see Fallout 3. I don't want to see Fallout 4. I ain't paying for them. If you want to give me a new Vegas, like an actual new game, like back to New Vegas or whatever, I'll buy that. Yeah, but yeah. I'm not. No.
Yeah. 100%. One last thing I'm going to throw in here, because it's actually happened. Breaking news on Gaming Uncensored, believe it or not, is actually happened while we've been doing this show. I have in the show notes the rumor of this. Now it's official. There is a new Vive headset coming. It's called the Vive Flow. It is a standalone VR headset that does not appear made for gaming. It so far has no controller. So it is a media-centric VR headset that is much more like a pair of glasses. It's still big. Think somewhere between like what like Google Glass was and what a current Vive is. It's like the happy medium between those two places. But it's not a full wraparound head strap. It's like foldable arms that kind of squeeze behind your head, but doesn't go all the way around. Not as high powered, apparently, as, say, the Quest 2 is, but still powerful enough to be a standalone thing. They're really, you go by the website now, again, this is just new stuff, and so I don't know many more details about it, but they're really selling it as like this experiential, like, mindfulness and like Zen product that like they show literally like one of the promo images is somebody sleeping with it on or laying down, maybe not sleeping yet, but it has a blue light filter. Like they're talking about ASMR with it. I don't know. Fascinating stuff. There you go. New Vive headset out there.
Can I just mention there's a whole lot of old man jokes with the Vive Flow. We're the age where we probably need the Vive Flow. Like,
yes.
It sounds like a nice new drug for some stuff that happens to men.
Yes.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's fabulous. There's probably going to be some other uses for it, like some NBA games courtside or some stuff, that kind of stuff. I can see that. Totally makes sense. I don't think, since we're talking about this, and I know we got a little girl coming, so I'll be quick.
But she's actually a dance class, so we got time.
Oh, wow. So what I'm wondering about, since you brought this up, is what is the next step for VR? Because my nieces love it. We both have a headset apiece, and we like to put it on and have fun, but we have the most fun with it when we're together. And so I'm wondering what the next step is, because right now, if Vive would have come out and said, okay, we're going to give you a new headset and it's going to be $1,000. That's another one of those things. Like, I'm not going to speak for you, but I don't feel like I need that.
Yeah, so the price point, if you want the price point for the thing, is $500.
Right.
And so it's more expensive than a Quest. It's less powerful than a Quest. And it's not really designed as a gaming device. And it's $500. The form factor is cool. I don't think the form factor is $500 cool, you know? Right. And unless there is this sudden massive influx of content, it feels like a very much like if we build it, they will come kind of thing. Right. Like if there's a VR headset that the form factor feels a little bit more natural, which again, this is closer, but still it's very obviously still a VR headset, right? That if the form factor is something that people would be more comfortable with and it's not as off-putting as current VR headsets, maybe more content will be created for it. I don't know that this is it. Like it's cool, but it just, I still don't know what this is outside of the form factor that a Quest isn't and why it's more expensive, especially if it's not quite as powerful. And that's just what I read. I haven't seen that, you know, like obviously Vive doesn't have on their website, not quite as powerful as a Quest, you know.
And like the older that we get, the form factor and the way things work are important, because you used to wear a headset like this and after doing it for a while, you just get to the to the point where you want to do something. But like that's the reason I took the glasses off, because I needed to move the earphone just a little bit, and I didn't want the glasses to fall. It's like, yeah, okay, well, now I'm stuck. And so it's kind of an age thing, I think. I mean, it just, we love VR. VR is great. Yeah. We're glad to have the headsets that we have. Doug took really good care of us. And we have the best VR experiences on the planet. But I'm not ready for a new headset.
Yeah. Me neither. The one thing this does have that's pretty cool, and so hopefully this will be a thing that's integrated to more things, it does have an active cooling system. It has a little fan built inside of it. It has a little vent in it. So there you go. Outside of that, again, what you're getting for $500, that's not gaming. That the whole thing is like, use it for, you know, full immersion. It's lightweight, but like, yeah, just for content, like, meh. I don't care about being immersed in VR for that long to, you know, whatever.
Since
outside the fact that because it does have a controller, specifically phone as VR controller right here on the website, your phone is the way that you interact with everything on the world. Like if you can like scroll your phone while watching Netflix with the thing on, then, you know, like whatever. That's pretty cool. So if you can pull up all your apps and stuff like a little virtual phone in your virtual environment, by all means, whatever. So, if somebody sends it to us, we'll use it. But
yeah, if you send it, we will use it. That should be the tagline for this show. Because Spider was asking if we played Diablo, and I was like, no. But if you send it, we'll play it.
Absolutely. I will say that to me, some of the most fun things I've done in VR are just the kind of random little experiences that would work just fine on this. We love the, you know, actual like gameplay, get a couple controllers in your hand, finger tracking, all that fun stuff. I love that about VR, but some of the coolest things you do are just, you know, little experiences, and this will do that well. But if it's not a gaming device, that's what I want from VR. If you give me better gaming, I would be into it. This doesn't look like it's that. So, for what it's worth, there you go. The Vive Flow is a thing.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a lot of fun with the name. I think
the name is just as somebody who had a kidney stone and was on Flomax for a little while, it's good stuff. I mean, nothing wrong with it. So whatever. Really quickly, releases, not really anything to write home about. Back for Blood is probably the biggest thing that's come out.
That thing is everywhere.
Left 4 Dead, guys, it is apparently just a successor to Left 4 Dead in about every single way. Everything that I've heard about it is like, yep, it's Left 4 Dead. It's got a 77 on Metacritic right now, which is perfectly fine. I don't know. It's one of the rare ones that's actually higher rated on the PS5, it looks like, than on the Series X, which is surprising. So, for what that's worth, just barely. That's about it. I'm trying to see anything else. Disco Elysium on the Switch. You can go pick that up. Other stuff is. We had the big release week last week. We talked about Far Cry and Metroid and all that stuff. Now we've got a couple of weeks before big stuff comes again.
I have a proposal for you. I think I've figured out how we can get an Xbox.
Nice.
I think you're going to like this because it's totally a Tommy project. I saw a video of a guy that bought Xbox Series X's off of eBay and repaired them. I think that's what we need to do.
I'd be all for that. Is
buy a couple and figure out how to repair them. That's what we need to do. And so if that would make for some interesting content, Patreon content. I had not even thought about doing that. And so I saw that video, and then I was like, we used to do that all the time.
Yeah. I love that idea.
So, yeah, I think we should work toward that. That's because that may be the only way we ever get an Xbox.
But that would be a fun little project.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. I love a little project.
We may have to spend some Patreon money and get us a broken Xbox off of eBay and see what happens there. I think that's a really cool idea, and I'm glad somebody is out there doing it. Because that inspires us. Yes. I will also say that the way that things have kind of shaken out with the video, we are looking for new video tech. And so if you would like to email us and let us know something that your podcast is using that you like, we're always looking to get better. I don't like that we didn't have video last week, but it was totally out of our control. And I don't feel that bad because you're getting a show for like the sixth week in a row. thank you, feels.com. I feel like we're in college again. Holy cow.
I know. We've been wonderfully consistent.
It's insane. And
we still go long. There's just so much stuff to talk about.
Now that we said that, the wheels are going to fall off and you're not going to see us for a month. But we're looking for ways to improve. We know things are not perfect. And we hope you guys enjoy what you're seeing. Of course, we always have the community over Facebook. There's funny stuff on Twitter all the time. The coolest thing I have to talk to you about real quick before we wrap up. I know you saw it, but Captain Kirk went to space this week.
Yes.
And that is the coolest thing that I've seen. And we love Amazon. It's a great company. But Bezos, buddy, when you've got Captain Kirk standing in front of you talking to you, you probably don't need to worry about champagne. I'm just saying. That's Captain Kirk at 90 years old. Let the man talk.
Yes. Agreed.
That was interesting. That's the coolest thing I've seen this week. You want to talk about something that would be worth the money? It's that. Like, whatever that money, we don't have it, and we never will, but whatever that
costs right now.
Yeah.
Still pretty small group of people, but pretty impressive, because how old is William Shatner?
90.
Yeah. 90 and making it to space is pretty impressive. Now, just for a moment, but we can get into all the little details.
That's
super cool.
That's why I think if I'm going to go, if somebody offers me a ride, I hope that it's Elon Musk. Because I think if I was going to take a ride, I think SpaceX would be my choice.
Bezos. Man, that Blue Origin rocket is just the worst looking thing I've ever seen in my life.
And now he's totally going to shut us down because he controls the internet.
Yes, that is not unfair. But man, the thing's hideous.
That is totally something that if I could like log into, I want to do that.
Yes.
So we don't know about VR. We don't know if VR will ever be worth it, but we'll run out to do that the second somebody will let us. Do you think your wife will let us on a spaceship?
It seems doubtful, right?
Like, are we going to have to sneak out? Or how's that going to work?
Be back in a couple of days.
Because we totally would. We would. I'm really...
To go to space.
I'm really happy about all the space stuff. I really am.
Yes.
And I'm glad you're watching it as well. And so that's the funny stuff that I watch on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow the show on Twitter. There's all kinds of cool stuff over there because Tommy doesn't have to say it to actually say a lot about anything, and it's entertaining. So definitely go over there and check that out. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. And for one more week, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.